Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Heidi Moore, in for Brian Lehrer. Next Tuesday is Congressional Primary Day in Connecticut. Joe Lieberman is stepping down from the Senate, and today we'll be talking to the two Democrats hoping to fill the seat. On Monday, Brian will talk to the two Republicans. So I'm joined now by Susan Bisewitz, former Connecticut Secretary of State. After that, we'll hear from Congressman Chris Murphy. Welcome back to the show, Susan Bisewitz.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So let's hear your pitch. Why would you be the most effective senator for Connecticut?
I am the best person to stand up for the middle class, both in the state of Connecticut and our country. You know, the richest people in America and the biggest corporations in our country already have enough advocates in Washington, and the people who are struggling are all of those folks who have to go to work every day, and we need leaders in Washington who are willing to stand up for the middle class and provide for more job creation, for better tax relief, for and bring a sense of urgency about getting our troops back from Afghanistan. And I would do all of that and more.
And also, your main issue is making Wall Street pay, right? Will populism work, do you think?
You know, I think that it's very, very important that our leaders in Washington hold Wall Street accountable for some of the pain that they've caused. And we have so many people in America who are about to lose their homes. You know, there are 55 million homeowners in our country, and 11 million of them or more are underwater. Their mortgages are higher than the actual value of their home. That happened because of the financial collapse in our country. And while the unemployment rates are getting a little bit better, still in Connecticut, we've got more than 100,000 people without work, and so many people who have either retirement nest eggs or college education funds for their kids that are worth half what they were. All of that happened because of the financial crisis, and there aren't enough people in Washington who want to ask for accountability and try to stand up for middle-class people who are struggling.
Well, that's a paradox, because Connecticut is also home to a lot of Wall Street firms, a lot of hedge funds. Are you afraid of losing them?
You know what? We have lots of folks who are supporters, who are in the financial industry, who think that we should close the hedge fund loophole. That's the tax loophole that has been given to people like Linda McMahon and Mitt Romney, and lets them pay only 15% of their income in taxes, while others are paying far more. And here is really probably the biggest policy difference between my opponent and I, in that he, on May 10th, May of 2010, voted to keep the hedge fund loophole open. He was one of only 34 Democrats to do that, and at the same time voted against college tuition tax credits for middle-class families and extending unemployment benefits for the long-term unemployed. And that was a bill that was supported by the AFL-CIO, and one where if the Democrats in Congress had actually stuck together and there weren't 34 defections, we probably could have closed the hedge fund tax loophole.
Well, speaking of Chris Murphy, he's your opponent. He got the party endorsement. Why would you want to oppose him and fight that uphill battle?
You know, I am no stranger to being a challenger in primaries. When I first ran for state representative, I ran against the former mayor of Middletown. Nobody thought I'd win, but I door-knocked 5,000 Democratic doors and won the primary. And when I ran for Secretary of the State, I was the challenger and became the first person in the history of Connecticut to win the primary as the challenger and then win the general election. And, you know, when you are someone who fights for lobbying reform, for ethics reform, for campaign finance reform, for opening up our election process, you know, those are things that the party insiders may not want and support, but those are things that the voters want, and I think that's why I've always done well with the voters of our state, and I've been a top vote getter for the Democrats and have won statewide by 70% of the vote. And, you know, Linda McMahon or whoever wins the Republican primary will be a tough opponent, and we need the strongest person with a track record of standing up and winning statewide elections, and I think I'm that person.
Mm-hmm. And she
and
also,
I think the voters, not a small number of party insiders, should have the opportunity to choose.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Linda McMahon, she's self-financed, and she has a lot of money to flood the airwaves and mailboxes of the state. What's your thinking on that?
Well, she does have a lot of money, but she wasn't able to buy the election 2 years ago. My colleague, the Attorney General, ended up beating her by almost 10 points, even though he was outspent something like 8 to 1. And so that tells me that the voters of Connecticut are very sharp. All of the national pundits who are looking at this race have it leaning blue, and I'll be darned if I'll have someone who sells sex violence and pornography representing our state in the United States Senate. I think the people of Connecticut have different values.
Well, let's talk about Senator Lieberman. How would you be different from him? How do your issues and your purposes differ?
You know, I differ from Senator Lieberman in a couple of fundamental ways. First and foremost, he was the biggest supporters of both wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. We couldn't afford either one, and we've lost thousands and thousands of our young people. And I was opposed to both wars from the start, and I've said that the president should move up the deadline, and we should bring our troops back from Afghanistan even sooner and as soon as is safely possible, because I think that we could be redirecting the $10 billion that we are spending every month to keep our troops there to things like infrastructure investment and fixing our roads and bridges and investing in better public transportation and education, things that would make our own country better and more competitive.
And, well, we have just a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you, if you get to the Senate, what committees would you hope to join? What particular issues are grabbing your attention, and what do you want to influence?
You know, I would very, very much like to serve on the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee because I think that we were able to get out of the Great Depression in large part because we had massive investment in infrastructure, in building roads and bridges, and we are so behind in Connecticut in road and bridge repair. And I think it's really important that we have leaders in Washington that are willing to work with the Republicans to think out of the box and start investing in transportation infrastructure so we can have some job creation going in our state and our country. I think it could really help our recovery. And we had massive investment during the 1950s and 60s in science and technology, and that helped us in the way of manufacturing and job creation. And we've gotten away from that, and we need leaders who are going to make that a national priority.
Okay, and so we just have 10 seconds for this next answer, but you recently ran an ad attacking Congressman Murphy, but it was about a different Congressman Murphy. Why didn't you pull the ad when the mistakes were noticed?
You know, because the main point of the ad was that Congressman Murphy is the largest recipient of Wall Street money, and he's received more Wall Street money than any Democrat in America, and that is the that was the main point of the ad. It featured Congressman Murphy in an ad that he did against Nancy Johnson, where he was criticizing her for taking money from drug companies and then voting to support their issues. Mr. Murphy took lots of Wall Street money, then voted to give their executives a big tax break by supporting keeping the hedge fund loophole open.
We'll leave it there.
So he's become Nancy Johnson.
We'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Susan Bisowitz.
Appreciate.
I'm Heidi Moore, in for Brian Lehrer, and we're talking with the Democrats running to replace Joe Lieberman in the U.S. Senate. I just spoke with former Connecticut Secretary of State Susan Bisowitz, and now joining me is her opponent in Tuesday's primary, Congressman Chris Murphy. Welcome to WNYC, Congressman Murphy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I'll ask you some of the same questions I asked your opponent. Why would you be the most effective senator for Connecticut, do you think?
Well, listen, I think ultimately this is a difference in style and effectiveness. There aren't a lot of huge differences between Susan Bisowitz and I on the issues, but the reason why, you know, Dick Blumenthal, Governor Malloy, the Democratic Party, the Hartford Courant, New York Times, Stanford Advocate have all endorsed me in this campaign is that, you know, they see a real difference in our ability to get things done. The people that have worked with me, state legislators, the governor, the congressional delegation, but have also worked with Susan Bisowitz, have seen that I've just been a much more effective voice. You know, I've been in the arena fighting for health care reform, for a fair tax code, for renewable energy. Not to take anything away from what Susan Bisowitz has done as Secretary of State. She's had some troubles there, but she just has not been fighting the same way that I have. And, you know, I caught the end of your interview there. You know, you raised an additional point of differentiation between the two of us. I've been running a positive campaign based on my, you know, plans to bring jobs back to this state. And, you know, Susan Bisowitz has been running perhaps one of the most curiously dishonest campaigns that this state has seen. And, you know, in the end, I think that that, frankly, has created another difference between the two of us on the issue of character.
Well, you heard the end of the interview, so you heard her criticism about your support for the hedge fund loophole. I'm giving you a chance to reply to that. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what's going on because, you know, Susan said she kept the ad up on the air because the spirit of the ad was true, and she said that I've taken more money from Wall Street than any Democrat in America. That is just flatly false, and allegations like that have been disproved by a bunch of newspapers in the state. So I say it's been a curiously dishonest campaign because there just seems to be a total disregard for the truth. I understand she's behind in the polls, but running ads that you admit are false and then compounding those errors by, you know, lying to try to cover them up, all of this has just done more damage to her than to me. You know, I've fought Wall Street when I think they've been wrong. I was a big supporter of the Wall Street reform bill. I've taken about as much money from financial services donors as a percentage of my contributions as Susan has. And in the end, that's not what people really make their decision about, donors to campaigns. They want to know what your plans are. You know, she's not doing much talking about that. I am.
Well, let's talk about the battle on the other side of party lines. Why would you be the most effective candidate against whichever Republican runs against you, Chris Shays or Linda McMahon, who, as we've mentioned, is self-financed and has a lot of money to put in the race?
It's going to be Linda McMahon at this point. And, you know, there just couldn't be a bigger difference between the two of us. Her economic plan would give herself a $7 million tax cut. I just have a really different prescription for this economy. Instead of giving Linda McMahon a $7 million tax cut when she's already worth over $1 billion, you know, I'd either spread that tax cut out amongst middle-class families or use it to build new schools or a new veterans job training center. I think that her priorities are a little screwed up, and I do think in the end that people are going to be turned off by the fact that she's trying to buy the election. I'm going to go out there and, you know, win this race by hard work, and I'm not going to necessarily apologize for the fact that, as one report said the other day, if Linda McMahon was elected to the Senate on day one, she'd be the wealthiest member of 100, and if I was elected, I'd be the poorest member of 100. And, I make enough to get by, but I think it's important that, you know, I live a life that can identify with middle-class families, where Linda McMahon really hasn't been plugged into what people are going through for a long time.
Well, let's talk about sort of the increase in your purview that would come from a job like this. Right, you're in the House right now representing Connecticut's 5th District. How do you think your job would change if you went from representing that piece of Connecticut to representing the whole state?
Well, it changes in the sense that, you know, I've got a lot of different interests that I have to represent. Fairfield County is a place that I know a lot about. It's where my wife is from, where her family lives. You know, its proximity to New York and its investment in the financial services industry means that you have to be a little bit stronger spokesman for transportation, for mass transit, for the health of the financial industry. You represent Eastern Connecticut, and you got to be talking about the importance of submarine production and dairy farms. And so, you know, you just have to broaden your scope. But the nice thing is that, you know, I've been in Congress long enough so that I know the issues and I know how to fight, not long enough that, you know, I've been polluted by that place. And my district is, you know, the most conservative district in the state. So I've had a pretty pragmatic voting record, and also one that sort of is a microcosm for the state. I've got hardscrabble industrial towns, I've got farm country, and I've got traditional suburbs. I think that makes me pretty ready to do the job in the Senate.
And are there any issues where you part company with President Obama, the leader of the party?
Yeah, we have parted companies in several areas. I don't think he's been strong enough on the issue of keeping our taxpayer dollars here at home to create manufacturing jobs. I've been critical of his administration on Buy America policy. I think that he's got a withdrawal plan in Afghanistan that takes too long and spends too much. I've been a big supporter of the president when it comes to his efforts to try to rehab the economy, to try to make our country energy independent, and to try to make health care a human right, not a privilege for the people that can afford it. But there are those other issues that I have parted ways with him on. And I'm going to do what's right for Connecticut. I'm going to support the president when he's doing something that's good for my state, and I'm going to call him out when I think he's doing something wrong.
Well, also, Connecticut, despite being a small state, has had some interesting senatorial politics. I remember in 2006, Joe Lieberman supported the Iraq War. He was defeated by Ned Lamont, but he ran in the general election and won. So is that a lesson for you? Is that something that you look at?
Well, I think it's a lesson in this way. You know, a lot of people disagreed with where Joe Lieberman was on that war. I'd argue more than half the state did, because I won an election in that same year over a 24-year incumbent based on, in part, on my opposition to the war. But what people appreciated and still appreciate about Joe Lieberman is the fact that he's one of the few that has the guts to cross the aisle, that has the guts to work with Republicans. Now, I may not agree on the issues that he does that on, whether it be, you know, opposing, you know, parts of health care reform or supporting the war in Iraq. But I am certainly, if I'm lucky enough to get this seat, going to try to continue his legacy of reaching out to Republicans to work together. And I think that's a big part of why he won re-election despite tough circumstances in 2006.
And voters can register up until Monday, right? Do you think that those currently unaffiliated voters will have any effect in this race at all?
Well, I hope that people who are unaffiliated think about registering in the Democratic primary. You know, we have a law in Connecticut that I don't know that I agree with that doesn't allow for unaffiliated voters to vote in primaries. But until that law's changed, you got to come down and register with a party. So what I just hope for is that we have good turnout. Whether or not unaffiliated voters switch between now and then, whoever is registered as Democrats or Republicans, come out and vote on Tuesday the 14th. I know folks have other things that they're thinking about, summer vacations, getting kids back to school, but this is as important as it gets. This is a rare open U.S. Senate seat in Connecticut, and on the Democratic side, there are some pretty big differences in terms of effectiveness and electability between Susan Bisowitz and I, I hope that people come out and make their choice.
We'll have to leave it there. Congressman Chris Murphy faces Susan Bisowitz Tuesday in Connecticut's primary for the Democratic nomination for Senate. Thank you both. And tune in Monday when Brian will talk to the two Republicans vying for their party's nomination, Chris Shays and Linda McMahon. Up next, the good, the bad, and the ugly of New York's Penn Station.